Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Most religions make reference to a struggle of good versus evil that is larger than our world. But what the Bible actually reveals is that the struggle is not directly good versus evil. Rather, it is God versus his enemy, Satan, the source of all evil and the source of death. Actually, if our eyes are opened, we realize that God, in his wisdom, allowed this archangel to rebel, with one possible reason being the tremendous opportunity afforded God to manifest his wisdom through the church by heading up all things in Christ. This is the view in Ephesians. And Francis Paul has joined us again today as we've continued to fellowship on the heading up of all things in Christ. Francis, welcome back.
This is a marvelous light we're about to see, and I think have been seeing a little bit in these programs.
It's a slightly different view, Francis. It's a slightly different way of viewing, I should say, the presence of God's enemy in the universe, especially in light of the horrific evil that Satan is capable of and has shown again and again through history that he is willing to bring to the inhabitants of the earth. Of course, his purpose is always to frustrate God and especially God's people from the accomplishment of God's eternal will. But it seems it always eventually backfires in that everything ultimately creates more opportunity for God, doesn't it?
It's really amazing to me. I think this is a marvelous light to see. People ask, why did God allow Satan or anyone to rebel? But as you pointed out, this is a mark of God's wisdom. I heard it illustrated once that if you're an expert mechanic and your car never breaks down, you have no opportunity to show how smart you are. So without God allowing it, Satan could have never rebelled.
That's right.
But because God did allow it, this afforded God an opportunity to manifest such marvelous wisdom. And we know the outcome is revealed to us, that he will be the victor after all. But we, in the meantime, we really realize we do have an enemy.
Yeah, I heard it also expressed once that God never chooses evil, but he does allow man in his free will that has been influenced by the evil one to choose evil, and we see that. But what is marvelous is to realize God's superabundant ability to turn that evil ultimately to good, and that's Romans 8:28, a verse we've talked about many times on this program, but I think takes on a different even importance as we get further into this high view from Ephesians, doesn't it?
That's part of the all things that work together for good to those who love God.
Exactly.
And are called according to his purpose.
But Francis, that doesn't mean that there is not suffering and much loss that is temporary, that's temporal, I would say, in time. That's the effect of this evil. But God somehow is able to, through death, the process of death, and then resurrection, bring it all into a condition that reflects and magnifies him. Just before the verse that you quoted that I referred to, Romans 8:28, in Romans it points out that the whole creation was made subject to vanity, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will also be freed from the slavery of corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. When man took that element of death, that element of Satan into him, it wasn't just man that suffered, but here it reveals the whole creation suffered.
Whole creation, right.
And so now the whole creation is eagerly awaiting something, isn't it?
That's right. That's another verse in Romans that's marvelous, that the whole creation is waiting for something that God planned from eternity past.
Well, that's where we're going in our first segment today. Let's get to Witness Lee. I'm looking forward to today's message.
Romans 8 tells us clearly that the whole creation today is under the bondage of corruption. It's under the vanity, because death's factor has spread into the whole creation. So the whole creation becomes collapsed. Anything living, when it dies, It becomes a collapse. The whole universe becomes a collapse. You may say, sorry for this. But I tell you, God would say, very good for me. Sorry for you, but very good for me, God would say. Why? Because without such a dead situation, without such a collapse, God's wisdom could never be manifested. Satan came in to inject himself as the dead factor into the center of God's creation, that's man, to collapse the whole creation. Do you know? Whenever God wants to do something, Satan goes ahead. This is the principle in the Bible. God's intention was to inject himself into man. Or, using another word, to word himself into man. After creation of man, God put man in front of the tree of life, indicating that God wanted man to take God in, that God could get into man. Satan knew this. The strange thing is, God never rushes. He has no rush hour. But Satan always rushes. Satan rushed into the situation. Before God got into man, Satan injected himself into man. The whole creation got poisoned with Satan's death factor. So there's a collapse everywhere because death is everywhere.
Francis, I recall several years ago recording a life study program with you, I believe, as we were talking about the two trees when we were in the life study of Genesis. And we had a message that touched many of these same points, but it's quite fresh to hear him bring it out in this context of Ephesians and God's eternal purpose and will here. In the introduction today, we were talking about this eternal struggle or battle that most people, I think, would quite readily say, oh, that's the battle of good versus evil. Mm-hmm. And we saw, no, really, it's the battle of the two universal persons, God and Satan.
Right.
But in its working out, what we see, as he brought out here, it's really the battle of death versus life.
Yes.
And God's enemy rushing in to inject the death element into the center of man's will. And why don't you pick up the point right there?
Well, it's quite amazing to me, and the light that's shining in this particular matter is that God has an eternal purpose. And naturally, we think that since God has that purpose, why doesn't he just do it?
Yes.
But God's way is not to just do it like that. And he allowed rebellion to come in, which could never have come in if he had not allowed it. Since he allowed rebellion to come in, people may ask, why would God do that? Isn't he all-powerful and almighty and all-wise? But he has no opportunity even to display his wisdom if he just does things suddenly and without any kind of preparation. So I would say this is a view of God's preparation to display his wisdom and accomplish his purpose so that there would never be another thing to challenge his purpose and his goal.
Yeah.
So he allowed Satan to come in, inject himself into the center of the universe, which was man,
right,
created by God, so that he could spoil God's plan. But God allowed that because he's wise and he knows how he's going to work everything out, even from eternity past. So I feel today we just have to be encouraged not to be bothered because of all the evil that's in the world, because that has brought in a situation that really gives opportunity for God's marvelous wisdom to be manifested.
You know, Francis, even in light of current events and the tremendous tragedy that has befallen us in this country in recent days, I don't know how many times now I've heard different people commenting on all that is beginning to happen in a positive way as a result of that tremendous evil. So many people being restored in their families, and even more significantly, how many people have really turned to Christ, have received the Lord. I was at my doctor's office this week, and the nurse there was talking about all the rush of people that have come in in panic, you know, wanting to be tested for anthrax and this and that. And she was commenting. And I said, well, were these mostly elderly people that were just scared? And she said, no, you know who it was? It was the 30-year-olds. And the 40-year-olds, all these ones who were driving the fancy cars, the Lexus and the BMWs, and have been making all this money. And this was her view. Of course, she's a dear Christian, but she said, I think it's because they don't have anything solid in their lives that can carry them through a time of turmoil. And I think that that is really one of the small example illustrating this point. Out of this horrible event, we are seeing God at work in many hidden ways, really turning a nation back to Him. Don't you agree that there's been this element?
There certainly has been this element, and we've heard much from New York City and how so many people are turning to the Lord. And some of the saints, the believers there, young people getting on the train and singing and preaching the gospel. And even the people, the passengers on the train, joining in with singing.
Right.
They are really touching something because people have been disturbed now that causes them to turn to God. So this is God's way of causing things to work out together for good.
It really is. Well, let's go back to Witness Lee Francis. We're going to stay on this point.
God came to work Himself into man. And God came into man, not the original man. Man became a flesh. Satan got into man. Now God also gets into man. Man becomes a battlefield between God and Satan. Originally, Satan and God, God and Satan, were fighting the universe. And eventually, man became their battlefield. Do you realize that the little you, the little me, the little man is a battlefield? A war is raging up. What war? The war between Satan and God. I tell you, we Christians do have a raging war within us. The death factor is fighting against the life factor. And the life factor is conquering, subduing, killing, selling up the death factor. You know, after we take in the antibiotics right away in our body, there is a fighting. Do you know Jesus Christ is the top antibiotic?
Amen.
Since the day we received Him, the war was going up.
Amen.
Day after day, Jesus Christ, the top heavenly antibiotics, has been, and still is, killing all the germs. We got the death poison, so we got collapsed. But when Jesus came in, the life factor came in. You know what? We rose up a little bit. In Ezekiel chapter 37, all the dead bones are detached bones. They are just a heap. When the breath of life enters into those dead bones, firstly, they rise up. Then they get themselves all attached one to another. Then they become a body. This rising up and getting attached is actually the hiding up.
Well, Francis, this is another level of the realization of the universal battle that we need to get very clear about, and that is the location of the battlefield. It's not in the universe in an outward way. Really, the center of the battle is in us, isn't it?
That's right, because us is God's purpose.
Right.
He created us that we might be His expression. Satan came in to damage that, to kill or to destroy the whole universe that God created. But now we are the battlefield because we have God in us. By our believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, we get God's life and His nature in us, and this becomes a battlefield because Satan will not give up. Even though he knows that receiving Christ is the top antibiotic for his poison, yet he will not give up. He keeps trying to win this battle, but I'd like to announce that Christ is the victor. Satan has already been defeated.
Amen. Francis, I also appreciated his alluding to the story in Ezekiel 37 about the dry bones. Talk about that story for our listeners who may not be familiar with it. It's a good picture of what he's illustrating here.
Yeah, well, this is a story of a valley full of dry bones. There's no life, there's no moisture, there's just dry bones lying around, detached, spread out everywhere.
Kind of like us before we got saved.
That's right. We're just like those dry bones. But then the breath of God came in. Life came in and breathed the life of God into those bones. And they rose up, even though before they were so scattered and nothing of semblance of a body. Yet these bones begin to come together.
Yeah.
And by being attached together, they stand up now as a body.
My goodness.
And this is what God is after with his people.
So this is a good, we've used this verse now for a couple of days about the heading up of all things. This is a picture of the heading up, just as our body is headed up by our head.
Mm-hmm.
When the life of God is injected into even the death situation, the death factor that Satan has created in mankind, there is a heading up, a kind of a structure that reflects this new life that has been injected into us.
It's marvelous because this factor of death got into man to such an extent that there was no heading up and there was no joining together. There was no attachments. We were all divided, separated, and dead. But by the life of God coming in, we are enabled to rise up and be attached.
Let's read this verse as we prepare to go back to Witness Lee for our final segment today. Again, this is the verse that we've been talking about in the last couple of programs. It's Ephesians 1:10. Unto the economy of the fullness of the times, or the administration of the fullness of the times, to head up all things in Christ, the things in the heavens and the things on the earth in him. That's what the Lord is doing in these days. I think we have that sense, both without in the world situation and within us.
Mm-hmm.
We're all being headed up
right
unto the fullness of the times.
Yes.
Yeah, let's go back to Witness Lee.
Satan's injection has no administration because his injection is illegal. But God's working himself into us does have an administration. This Greek word for administration is a hard word for the translator. Actually, it is the anglicized English word economy, which is translated into either administration, dispensation, stewardship, or a household arrangement. You know, in the ancient times, in the big royal families, there's always some steward. And that ministry of the steward is called the stewardship. And a steward is not just a slave, but a very intimate person to the whole family taking care of the household arrangement. I tell you, with the stewardship, with the household arrangement, there's always a kind of sweetness. Not only so, this stewardship is a dispensation. Dispensation means what? Dispensing. My grandchildren, none of them listens to me. But everyone listens very well to the grandma, to my wife. Why? My wife has a policy to control them. Dispensing chewing gum. She told the little grandchildren, behave. Otherwise, no chewing gum. So all the little children are under a very nice control because the grandma controlled them with a sweet dispensation. That's dispensation. Of course, that kind of dispensation is also a kind of administration. Listen to this. This matter to hide up all things is by what? By sweet, intimate stewardship. Dispensing, not chewing gum, but the sweet Christ. Dispensing the sweet life supplies of the triune God. I tell you, this is called by the Apostle Paul the stewardship out of the grace of God.
That's a very endearing story there about Sister Lee being the grandma and her ability to control the children.
Yeah.
It illustrates this point very well. You know, I was on a flight recently, Francis, an international flight, and as we were about to take off, the head flight attendant was giving the announcements that we're all used to, but she introduced herself as the chief purser on this flight. So I looked up that word when I got back, purser, and I found out steward is one of the synonyms for this word.
Hmm.
And we used to have that term on airlines, stewardess. Of course, that's no longer so correct in political terms. But nonetheless, I appreciated that. That means that she was identifying herself as she was the one that was in charge of how many peanuts we got and
whether
we got soda and when we ate. And, and that's a good illustration of what this steward was in the ancient households, isn't it?
That really is a good illustration because she tells you when to sit down, when to put away your electronic devices, and when she's going to feed you. And
exactly.
All of these things are under her control, so we are very obedient to her.
Exactly. Had the same effect that the chewing gum did on the grandchildren here. Talk about this. This is a good illustration of this word administration or stewardship or economy or dispensing or household arrangement. All of these terms are used here.
This is such a marvelous term, even though it's been more or less hidden from the understanding of many people. It's called economy, oikonomia in Greek, and it means stewardship or household management. And for this application that Brother Lee has given it, it's a dispensing of the sweetness and the life supply into all the members of the household. So we're those members of the household, and God's way of gaining us and bringing us to himself and building us up together to be his expression is by dispensing himself into us as food, as enjoyment, and we're told to come and drink the water of life. We're told to eat the bread of life. This is all God's dispensing of himself. And this, actually, this particular age we're in now is called the dispensation of grace.
That's right.
Which means it's a dispensing all that Christ is into his believers. And this really rescues us from this heap of collapse that we've seen all around us and which we were a part of until we received the Lord. But now, for him to really build us up together, to be his expression as he intended, this takes the dispensing of God himself into us, in Christ as the Spirit, to be everything to us. Without this kind of dispensing, just to tell us we should obey would put us back under the law. We have no ability to obey the law, but there is a life ability put into us by his dispensing.
And Paul said that the stewardship or this administration had been given to him, and through his dispensing, look at the riches that we enjoy today of Christ that have been revealed. And so this dispensing function has been passed on now through the ages. This is really the commission of the church, isn't it? That it should be the dispensing agency of Christ on earth.
Yes.
Thank you for your fellowship.
Thank you.
For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today.